Well, good morning, everyone. As has been mentioned, we have visitors. Many of the visitors that we have today are, like Ron said, are like family to us because they've been here and worshiped with us before. But we also have visitors that are with us maybe for the first time, and we are grateful that you're here, that you've taken the time out of your schedules to seek out a place to worship, and you have chosen to worship with us, and we pray and are thankful for that, and we pray that everything that has been said and done here today has been in accordance with God's Word. That song that Carl led, I Believe, that song right there can, if it doesn't bring tears to your eyes or smile to your face, one of the two, then I don't know if you're alive inside or not. Because it is a song that when we think about that, I believe in the one they call Jesus. That is, should be your motivation for living every day. It should be the reason that you get up in the morning, the reason you lay your head down at night. But you live for Him because you believe in Him. And the last line in that song, and I believe that He's the answer for me. I don't believe it's just the answer for me, but I believe He's the answer for everyone. And I appreciate the fact that you're here on this Lord's Day and you are honoring God and His Son and remembrance of the Son's death, burial, and resurrection in the feast that we just partook of. And I'm grateful that we can come together and worship and do the things that we've done today. And so as we open our Bibles, if you want to leave it open to Luke chapter 22 there, to our text, you'll be able to do that, and we'll follow along here in just a little bit because we're going to talk a little bit about Peter this morning. But I really want us to think about what was stated right there very early within the context that was read to us this morning, because it is there that what you see after Jesus had been arrested, it says Peter followed at a distance. Depending on the translation, he followed afar off. And I want to make a suggestion along the way this morning that when we think about our own lives, how close are we following Jesus? How closely are we walking side by side with Him? Or are we just simply following Him, trying to follow in His footsteps? Or are our lives at a greater distance than they need to be from Him? And I want you to think about that, because this is a man that, when we talk about Peter in general, is one who had a great influence in the world because he was inspired of God, he preached God's Word, and many people believed because of the message that he brought about. But it doesn't mean that Peter was perfect. As a matter of fact, I think we emulate Peter in our own lives sometimes in many ways, and sometimes we may be as strong in our faith as we possibly could be and want to follow him like Peter did, and then there may be times that we're weak like Peter as well. And so if I asked you how to describe Peter, you might think about the word spontaneous, because sometimes the words that he used just seemed like they flew out of his mouth, and sometimes, you know, his words spoke louder than his actions. Would you describe him as faithful? Shake your heads, yes, because you could. You could describe him as faithful, but can you also describe him as weak? There are times in his life that, yes, you will describe him as weak. And this is one of those cases right here, that this is a man that has already professed that he was willing to die for the Savior. And now in our text, we see him denying him. This is one of those moments of weakness that we see in Peter. But at the same time, out of weakness comes strength. And I see that in Peter in many, many instances. This will not be the last time that we see Peter in weakness. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But think about Galatians chapter 2 while you're jumping ahead. But think about him, because there comes another time in his life. He's an apostle, an inspired man. And he has to be challenged by the apostle Paul. That's why I say that he probably, and the things that take place right here within the context of Luke chapter 22... that we've just read, we can very likely see ourselves denying Christ in different ways, by our actions, even by our words. But are we strong enough to be able to return to the Lord like Peter was? Now think about this, and think about what's taking place right here. Because I truly believe that at first Peter was following very, very close to the Lord. He's one of the three that are a part of that inner circle of friends that Jesus Christ has, who's able to witness several things that Jesus had done. But you think about this. You go all the way back to Matthew chapter 4. And you go back to when Jesus actually calls Peter and Andrew and says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. I understand that over time Peter did many things. I think about Peter trying to walk on water at the same time Jesus did. And he did for a little while, didn't he? He was the only one that stepped out of the boat, but at the same time we see some weakness there because he allows things to distract him instead of keeping his eyes focused on Christ. And I see that we tried to follow Jesus as closely as possible. There was even a time in Peter's life that when you think about it, I don't think he needed to remind Jesus of this, but he said, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" He said that to Jesus in Matthew 19, and then Jesus would reply to him, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." He was given his answer, what he would receive. It wasn't a monetary gift. It was an eternal gift that would be granted to him. And I think about Peter and that he's not the only one that had weaknesses in his own life. But I think about the Apostle Paul, because I think about him in this case. He suffered loss for the sake of Christ, didn't he? He forfeited being a Pharisee of Pharisees for Jesus Christ. And he thinks about Paul in that particular sense. Why did he do that? Why did Peter want to follow Christ? Well, I think about Paul. He talks about it in Philippians chapter 3, that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he was longing for. That's what he lived for. And I see in Peter a similar type of longing. Paul was waiting for that appearing of our Savior the second time, because he was wanting to be with all who loved his appearing. And I see in Peter a man who, in spite of his weakness that is displayed right here in Luke chapter 22, as a man who would be devoted to the Lord. You know, in the garden as Jesus is being arrested, Peter's the one that drew his sword to defend him. Jesus stopped him. It was true that Peter was willing to die for him, because you think about drawing a sword on officers that have come to arrest him. They didn't come unarmed. They came to arrest Jesus and take him by force if necessary, any force necessary. Jesus prevented all of that from happening by going peacefully. But you think about Peter and that spontaneity that took place right there. He never gave it a second thought about drawing his sword, did he? He reacted to the situation. But prior to that, Jesus has told him, "There's going to come a time you're going to deny me. You'll fall back into some weakness." And it's amazing what fear will do to an individual. And I believe that that's what took place in Peter's case. Because you see on the occasion right here that when Jesus says that he will deny him, Peter's going to bow up his back and he's going to say, "That'll never happen." In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31, Jesus quotes from Zechariah chapter 13. He says, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Well, after Jesus is arrested, the disciples do scatter. John and Peter may have been the only ones that seem to have been at the house of the high priest. But everybody else scattered. And even though Peter has said that he's not going to deny the Lord, and even though Peter said he would never stumble or fall away, verse 33 of Matthew chapter 26, even if I were made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Even if all are made to stumble. Let me read that correctly. I will never stumble. There was a confidence in his own faith at that particular time that was voiced. There was a confidence in the fact that I am with you 100%. And wouldn't it be nice, that old saying, it's often easier said than done, if we could always say it and follow through every time we say something. But he even said that he was willing to go to prison. Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. But on this night in Luke chapter 22, three times, he's going to deny the Lord. And just like Jesus said, the cock was going to crow. And it did. You know, Jesus said, all my disciples are going to forsake me. Peter said, no, not me. And he did. And so they're at the high priest's house now. And the people have gathered together, and they've started a little fire outside of the house. Gathered, sit around it. And you get this picture of Peter just simply trying to blend in. And saying, boy, if I could just blend in, this would be a whole lot easier and not be recognized. And I look at this sometimes too, when you think about this. He's wanting to blend in with the people that are wanting to crucify Christ. He's just wanting to fit in with the crowd right now. And see, that's difficult for us as children of God. When I consider that what he was doing and sometimes what we do in our own lives, yes, we make the proclamations like Peter did. I'm a child of God. I'm always a child of God. I'm never not a child of God. I will always serve him. And then sometimes we might find ourselves in a difficult situation, under difficult circumstances. And then all we see ourselves doing is just blending in with the rest of the world. And I look at this and I think of this. Here he is at a distance again. He's not following as closely as he said he would if he's just simply trying to blend in. Now, I understand what fear does. The self-preservation goes into high gear in our lives, and we do that quite often. And this self-preservation for Peter was, you know, it's going to end up being something different. You think about it. In our lives, past, present, or future, we will suffer for the Lord. The Apostle Paul says it this way: all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And the Lord lets his disciples know that if they are hated, they'll be persecuted. And so Peter's among the enemy. There would be many that would die for Christ. And I think about this, some of us are following closely to Jesus while others today are still traveling at a safe distance. You know how we'd have to have one foot in the world and say we've got one foot in the church. And as a child of God, we cannot live like that. We have to be distinct in this world. We have to be salt. We have to be light. There would be many that would die and stand firm and walk with the Lord under varying circumstances. But think about this. In the priest's house, do you think you could have stood firm? Would you walk with the Lord under similar circumstances as Peter's facing right now? Try to place yourself in his shoes. I'm afraid I'd have been just like him. That's the frightening thought of that. It's that survival mode that we get in our heads. I've got to do whatever I can to preserve my own life. Even though I've said that I'm going to do this, you know, it's still about me. And then I think about him too, as he stood by the fire, just trying to blend in. But wait a minute. And this isn't Peter. He's not a spy, is he? Not really. He's curious as to what's happening to the Savior. That's, I believe, why he's there. But you think about this. If he had been a spy, he would have been lauded for his ability to sneak into the enemy's camp and do this. But that's not what he's there for. And see, a child of God should not try to put on the clothing of the world and disguise himself as one of the world. We've already been warned in the Scriptures that if we're not careful, we're going to be deceived by people who put on sheep's clothing. Wolves that have put on sheep's clothing. We don't want to be in that category. If you're a light in the world, you let your light shine. If you're salt of the earth, you influence. You don't hide your light. And so you think about this. You be sure that you confess. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, that was on the screen right there a second ago, is just that. If we confess Him before men, He will confess us before His Father who is in heaven. If we do not confess Him, He will not confess us before His Father. And so you keep that in mind, that Peter being among the enemies right there, he's following at a distance. So it doesn't matter. Three times within this text, he's recognized. Three times he's going to deny that he is a follower of Jesus. You think about that. He has been in the presence of the Lord now 3 years. Maybe a little bit longer, but 3 years. He has been one of Jesus' closest friends out of all the 12. He would be hard pressed to be able to deny that he was an associate of Christ by any means, because they've been traveling together, doing things together, and people have been witnessing all of these things. And for him to sit there among these people and a servant girl and the others that have noticed him, and to turn around and say after the first time, "Woman, I do not know him," that took a lot of nerve on Peter's part to pull that off. That wasn't courage, that was cowardice. And then to be recognized the second time, "Man, I am not." And just about an hour later, to have someone come up to him and say, "Oh yes, you are, you're a Galilean." He said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying. You don't have a clue what you're saying, and I'm not going to confess to that at all." Three times. Now let me ask you this. Have you ever been guilty of doing something like that? Now you may not have come out and said, "No, I'm not a Christian. No, I'm not a disciple of Christ." But have your actions ever denied that? Have you tried to blend in with the crowd and be like everybody else? Now, I know the Apostle Paul said that he became all things to all people. But why did he do that? To save some. Not to save his own life, not to preserve his life, but so that he could influence those people to become children of God. And that doesn't mean that he approved of everything they did, and it doesn't mean that he hid among them. But it did mean that he lived among them to teach them. Have you ever let your actions speak louder than your words? And you look at the end of the account in Matthew, and look at the end of the account right here in Luke. Remember that one of the accounts said that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Don't you think that Peter noticed that? Do you believe that Peter knew the disappointment that was on the face of Jesus, even though Jesus said he knew that it was going to happen? And the shame that overwhelmed him at that particular time. Because the text, the last verse, verse 62 of our text, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, I believe in Peter. This isn't the fact, I got caught. I believe this is godly sorrow unto repentance on the part of Peter. Because Peter's life is going to change drastically because Jesus Christ is going to be crucified. Peter's life is never going to be the same as it was on this very moment. And I look at him and I believe that he became stronger in faith. I look at him in Acts chapter 2 standing up on the day of Pentecost. This time again amongst the enemy. But this time being accused of being drunk. And this time standing up and saying no and starts preaching the first sermon that's recorded for us by the apostles in the New Testament. And this time with his mouth and with his actions, he's confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This time he's not denying that he is a disciple or an apostle. This time he's pricking the hearts of men after he'd been denied, or after he had denied Christ. Now I will also say this too, that what leads me to this conclusion is the three times that Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" at the end of the book of John. And each time him answering, "You know that I do." But I think about this, he becomes stronger in his faith and in his stand for the gospel. And there's only one other time that you can find recorded that Peter might have faltered. No, not might, did falter. And that's Galatians chapter 2. When the apostle Paul came to him and confronted him face to face. You know what? I'm grateful for brethren like the apostle Paul, who know when it's right to go to someone who is wrong and talk to them. Because even after that, Peter becomes one of the most prominent leaders in the kingdom of God. And he used those keys that Jesus promised him in Matthew chapter 16. He used them to open doors. He used them to open hearts. And to preach the gospel. He became the first man to preach to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. He even comes to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15 and comes to the defense of them. Now what happened in Galatians chapter 2? Very likely it happened after this. But he still did this. And here's the one thing that history reveals about him. Remember he said he was ready to go to prison or to die for Christ? Peter eventually died for Christ. Fox's Book of Martyrs and other places talk about him, the one who this text describes as following at a distance, as one who died for Christ. He was crucified. And as legend or history records for us, he refused to die the same way, even though he was crucified, die the same way that Jesus Christ did. It's recorded that Peter was crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to be crucified in the same manner as Christ. And think about that loss that Peter had followed so closely. That Peter had strayed for just a momentary loss of mind, I guess you could say, there in the court of the home of the high priest. But this man, pillar of faith, I believe we can call him that. The scriptures, I believe, identify him as one. A man of courage, absolutely. Willingly going to his death. A man who had heard Jesus say to others, "You've got to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me." He became that man. A man who died for the Lord. Would you do that? See, I keep going back to some things that I've read in the past about others who compare Christians in America. You have it so easy. I've heard Christians in America be called soft because you don't face the persecution that they did in the first century. You may face some verbal ridicule, some things like that, but you're not being cast into prison. You're not. Your life is not being threatened. You're not facing what Peter faced. But if the time comes, will you do what he did? If the time ever you're ever faced with that, will you do what he did? Now, a couple things I want to ask you, and the lesson's yours. We all, I believe, in this auditorium this morning, believe that we're saved. If you're saved, that means you are supposed to be an active child of God. We might describe others as soldiers of the cross. And I want you to think in military terms for just a moment. And I want to ask you this. Are you on active duty? Meaning that you're serving the Lord faithfully. Everything that you do, everything that you say represents Him. That you are constantly wearing the armor of God in your life. That you're wielding your sword of faith. You've got everything there that God has given you for protection, and that you are constantly in the battlefield, knowing that our battle is not with things that are physical, but spiritual in nature. Or are you on reserve status, serving only when called upon two or three times a year? Or are you on guard status, backing up the active duty group? Now think about those terms for just a moment. Peter was an active duty child of God. Paul was an active duty child of God. Those Christians in the first century who were scattered and went everywhere preaching the gospel in Acts chapter 8, they were active duty children of God. But if we are serving reserve status, then we're just trying to get by. We're not really there. And granted, this might not accurately describe those who actually serve in the reserves in the military. But you think about it as a child of God, you cannot serve this way because that's part-time duty. You have to be a full-time child of God. But if you're there working with those who are active, if you're there with the Apostle Paul as he describes those as being fellow laborers, fellow workers in the Lord, then guard status is not a bad thing at all. It's actually helpful. So are you a child of God? Or are you AWOL, absent without the Lord? And you see, we're supposed to be lights in the world. And when I think about what Jesus said back over there in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, we are lights, we are like a city that's set on a hill. We are not to hide our lights. Our lights are to be seen at all times. What that means is we should conform our lives to Christ, and we walk side by side with Him, and we do not follow Jesus at a safe distance or afar off. We need to always be ready to defend the faith, to give an account of why we believe. I think about Peter, what he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, always being ready to give a defense of the faith that is in you. are you capable of that? And not only are you capable of that, are you willing to do that all the time? How are you following Christ? Or are you even following Him at all? That's what you have to ask yourself this morning. You think about that in these terms, and you think about this. Don't be AWOL. Don't ever be absent without the Lord. Ever be with Him. And there may be some here today that are not following at all. It's time to join the ranks of believers and follow Him. If you've never obeyed the gospel and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, act in that faith. Repent of your sins, confess Him before men, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. We stand ready to assist you. But if you are AWOL, the thing about that is you can reconcile that status so that you can be in fellowship with the Lord and receive eternal life. If you've strayed from Him and you're following Him at a distance, draw nearer to Him. Confess your sin. And if you need prayers and encouragement, we stand ready to assist you with that. Because I believe that what Paul wanted is what we all should want, to ever be with the Lord. And if we can help you in your soul salvation this morning, we are ready to assist you. Won't you come? Just together we stand and as we sing.